Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
We're going to the Word of God. We're going to 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1 through 10. Today, my message is going to talk about the one thing that all of us will have to overcome at one time or another. But I pray that as at the end of this message, nobody will leave this place discouraged. We're going to get run discouraged out of the house, out of your life, because God's got an answer for us in the Word of God. Starting at verse 1 through verse 10, you'll find the responding verses on the screen behind me if you'll participate in reading with them. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Verse 10 together. So he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of the hosts, for the children of Israel, forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with a sword, and I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you're going to enlighten us today. You're going to give us a perspective perhaps some of us haven't looked at for a while. Lord, in all the troubled times that we face and all the things that are coming against us, sometimes we can be so discouraged and in despair, we forget who you are. Amen. We forget what you've done. But Lord, I pray that by the time this message is finished, Lord, we will have a new perspective. We will have a renewed perspective on your power and your anointing in our lives. Holy Spirit, direct my words today that they'll go to the very heart of those who are discouraged. And those who are not discouraged, we will become ambassadors of your grace, of your mercy, of your power, of your wisdom, of your authority, that we will prevail over the things of the enemy and will take back territory that has been taken captive from us. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. And all God's people said, before you sit down, I want you to turn to someone and look them right in the eye and ask them this question. What are you doing here? That's right. Just ask, what are you doing here? Go ahead and sit down. Come on. I believe that's a good question. Because I believe that we came here to worship the Lord, and that's not to put down anyone's reasoning. But really, it goes deeper than that. Because some of you are in a place you really don't want to be in. You're in a situation that you'd like to get out of. And I believe that that God, who is able to do exceedingly above what you could ask, think, or even imagine, is about to change your perspective on a lot of things. Well, if there were one emotion in life that will appear on the scene without an invitation and subtly take away your joy and peace, it would be that emotion called discouragement. And you don't invite it, and all of a sudden, without you know, something may happen, or even something that's just inside of you, that all of a sudden you feel like, I'm just not going to make it, or something you heard says, you're certainly not going to make it. But I want to tell you today that God has a perspective, and even after some of the greatest victories in our life, when we feel like, you know, our feet will never touch the ground again, the big D comes along with two other sidekicks called depression and delusion. We're going to talk about all three of them, and then we're going to get rid of them. Because I believe that God's got some things for you. Here's my little principles that we'll talk about today. Number one is, have you ever experienced success in your life only to have it overturned by an event that stole your joy? Have you gone from the top of the mountain to the valley within a matter of a moment or two? Everyone, I believe, has. And this story of Elijah is going to take you to a place where there's probably no victory in the recording of history of what he experienced. And all of a sudden, he finds himself in a place he thought he would never be in. How about number two? It says this, have you allowed the threats of the enemy to distort the truth of the presence of Jesus in your life? Because you know what Jesus said? I will never leave you or forsake you. But I think every person in this room at one time or another has felt abandonment, ostracized, all by yourself, cried yourself to sleep. Oh, am I got to your emotion yet? Or you felt like nothing's going to change. But I'm here to tell you, I got a word from the Lord. This is a day of change for somebody. It might as well be you. Take number three. Are you willing to return to the place from which you tried to escape to fulfill your purpose? That phrase I had you say to one another, what are you doing here? Elijah left running. And he left a place where he never should and went to a place he never should have gone. I want to take you back to where you came from so you can fulfill what God has in your life. I got 30 minutes to do it. Praise God. Well, the enemy will try to rule our lives through intimidation. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 through 10. I want to tell you why you are the way you are, why we are the way we are. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in this body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. That's who you are. I didn't say you wouldn't have problems, but I want to show you how to handle them. Look what the Word of God says. We're in these earthen vessels. The excellence of the power of God is not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Everywhere you turn, you say, oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. But not crushed. We are perplexed. Another word for that is frustrated. But you know what? Even though that happens, we're not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. The Spirit of Jesus lives inside of you right now. If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal body, that when you think you don't have the strength, He will give you strength beyond what you could imagine. So we're spiritual beings in a body of the flesh, and under the power of the Spirit of Jesus, we can see things happen. And our flesh is subject to the frail reality that our life can be taken from us. That's true. I know just about, I think everybody in here has had a near-death experience. If you haven't, I'll share a few of mine with you. Now, one comes to mind. I remember I was on a train going, I was going from Berlin, I was on my way to Germany. And I had an AK-47 put to the temple of my head, said, give me all your money. Oh, yes, I did. Yes, I did. And something in you know, the flesh said it was over. Jesus said, hold on. Do you hear what I'm saying? Was I afraid? Absolutely. But God says, I'm going to get you out of this situation, and I don't have time to figure out my little scheme. His was better than mine. I've told the story before, but somebody else hasn't heard it, so you sit down and you bounce your checkbook while we finish the story. Okay. You that heard it. But we're on our way to do some ministry type thing, and quickly in my mind, the Holy Spirit is amazing. He says, I want you to do like David did one time. He acted like he was crazy. And they left him alone. So I acted the most stupid I ever could. Why are you talking all loud and crazy? That man was so frustrated. He gave me, yes, he did. He gave me my passport back. He gave me my wallet back. And he got off the train. I want to tell you, you're not going anywhere until God is ready to bring you up there. Don't leave here early. Trust God to work it out. Somebody say amen. Amen. The devil can intimidate you all he wants to, but greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Now let's go back to Elijah. I'll get back to my story. Elijah had experienced great move of God in his life in calling down fire from heaven. I don't care what you did. You could have raised the dead yesterday. But today the devil can intimidate you like you couldn't raise a fly. Because he makes things seem so real. Consider this. The anointing of the Spirit will often cause us to challenge the greatest powers that oppose the things of God. So if you read the chapter before this, I encourage you to do so. The prophets of Baal and Elijah said this, the real God will answer by fire. And so they're going to call down fire and it's going to consume the sacrifice. I'm just going to paraphrase this real quickly. And so they put the altar there, they kill the sacrifice. And so they're going to call down fire. And the one God that answers by fire, he's the real God. And so the prophets, the Baal, they're dancing around and screaming and cutting themselves and doing all kind of crazy stuff. And so Elijah, he's showing off. He said, matter of fact, why don't you get some water and pour it on this thing? And he calls on the name that's above all the universe, the name of God himself, Jehovah Jireh. And all of a sudden, fire comes down from heaven, and it descends on there, and it consumes everything. This is the same guy in chapter 19 that's living under intimidation. I don't care how many victories you've had, the enemy will not leave you alone. Listen to me. Some of you have broken off an addiction that you had. Could have been addiction with substance or with a person. But the devil will not leave you alone. So, and even so, what makes it worse is after this happens, Elijah even mocked the prophets. What's your gods doing? Are they sleeping? Well, you can get all sarcastic if you want to, but it will come when you have to face it for what it really is. And so the fire that fell from heaven, it consumed these prophets. Well, yeah. But remember this. Remember when Jesus had the great, great, great victory over Satan? You know, the three times, you know, the flesh and all that type of thing was manifest before he went into his ministry. At the last one, he says, depart from me, Satan. You know, it is written. He's talking about the word of God. And the Bible says, the very last thing in one particular account says, and the devil departed from him only to return at another time. You hear what I'm saying? You may have made it through this one, but he'll be back. But you know something? You don't have to fear him coming back. Just remember, the same God that delivered you here will deliver you over there. It's a wonderful thing. Our successes yesterday may not always offset the challenges of today. What does that mean? We can experience a supernatural manifestation of God and still be intimidated by the enemy. Intimidation is this. Is that the enemy will throw out different things, the what ifs. Ever been captured by what if? I think all of us have. Well, what if that doesn't work out? Or what if they don't show up? Or what if this type of thing? And you go through all your mind, you talk yourself out of victory. Here's the one that we say the most. What if it doesn't last? And some of you who've overcome some terrible addictions, the enemy meets you with that one every single day. Oh, you may have overcome it yesterday. Today's a new day, and you won't make it till 12 o'clock. Well, I'm going to help you with that. We are ambassadors to display the excellence of the power of God in the midst of what we would think to be impossible. Well, though we may fall, we will not be defeated. Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. This is one encouraging for those of you who are going through something right now. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Let me tell you something. God delights. Jesus delights in the way you're doing things right now. He delights in that. When you make good decisions, the Holy Spirit delights in that. It's more than that, I'm just saying he's applauding you, but he says, that's how I created you to be. So don't be intimidated on that particular thing. But the next verse says this, and though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds his hand. Ever been walking with a little child and watch them stumble? But they don't hit the ground because you're holding on to their hand. Oh, you're going to stumble now and then, but you're not going to be hurled headlong because God's got a hold to you right now. You may feel a little bit of scrape here and there, but you know, he's not going to let go of you. Oh, you may be getting knocked around a little bit, but you don't feel like cast down, but we're not destroyed. God's got a hold of you. And that's why I think that is just exciting for us to know that. So it's amazing. We will often suffer setbacks, but it does not mean we're defeated. And Jesus is with us at the times we feel the least able to conquer or overcome circumstances. I need to talk with some people here that have family history. That mom was an alcoholic, dad was a gambler, or other promiscuous activities went in the family, and the devil has told you you're going to be just like them. And matter of fact, with some of those things that have kind of been earmarked on you, other people told you, you just like your mama. Oh, you look just like your daddy. You act just like him. Oh, isn't that lovely? And they sometimes they have the audacity to pick out the negative things. But you know what? I want to let you know, when you come to Jesus, you got a new daddy. Oh, yes, you did. You've been adopted into a family. You got a new big brother called Jesus. He said, I'll never let go of you. And that's pretty amazing. As far as that's concerned. Well, let me get on to this story here. Jezebel's message was delivered by the messenger to Elijah that caused him to believe that his life was under her control. Huh? Her message is this: by this time, I'm going to take care of you. You're going to be dead as can be because I said so. Really? You have just destroyed all of her little prophets. She's mad now because you destroyed all the little prophets and tore down all this stuff. She says, but by this time tomorrow, you're going to be dead, just like one of the prophets you destroyed. Really? But you know what's interesting? There are people in your life that can get up in your face and they'll make you believe it. They'll look you straight in your eyes, or the sound of their voice or the timbre of their voice will convince you that what they're saying is true. Somebody say amen. Because they have a command, or their presence, just being in their presence will keep you, all of a sudden you're just kind of cowering with fear. And there's certain people that you avoid because of this particular thing. There is no demon in hell that can take you from the hands of the control of the power of the Holy Spirit. Does not exist. Well, Elijah allowed the words of Jezebel to put him to flight. And if you'll note what happens here, and when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. I want to take that little piece that even the person who's been standing with you, your servant, you kind of leave him behind too. It doesn't tell us exactly the reason why he did that, but I think I know. Elijah, even though he was a powerful man, he said to his servant, well, I don't want to get you involved in this whole thing. Jezebel's coming after me. I don't want you to die because of this, so you stay here and I'll just take what's coming to me. Really? Are you that afraid? Are you that intimidated? The story unravels pretty quickly. Because Elijah forgot what God did for him yesterday. Some of you have forgotten what God did for you yesterday. When you couldn't save yourself, when you couldn't keep yourself away from that situation, God delivered you, and that same God is with you today. Every day of sobriety for some of you is another day the Lord has kept you. You never have to go back ever again. But let me tell you, folks, the devil will always take you back. Well, the devil has you on his hit list, and we should not be surprised when the enemy will come after us, and we must learn how to resist the devil. And the Bible says this in James, it says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Huh? Because he recognizes the power of Jesus in you, he cannot overcome that. Because Jesus already did that at the cross. He tried everything he could to sabotage that whole situation, but Jesus rose with power over death, hell, and the grave. So nothing can take you from his hand. Well, let me go to the second phase here. Your inner wilderness is a place called enough. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4, I'll read this again for you. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came, sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die. And he said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers. Would you allow me access to the deeper part of your heart just for a moment? Every single person in this room, without escaping anybody, has come to that place where you said it's enough and you wanted to die. I don't ask you to show your hands, I'll show your hand for you. I don't know what it was, but this particular time it was so overwhelming and so intimidating that you said, you know, God, take me in my sleep. I don't want to wake up tomorrow. This is too much. I can't handle it anymore. I can't go any further. And it wasn't because of drug addiction. It was just the situation seemed like it was so much. It could have been your kids. It could have been your job. It could have been other people that are going after you. But you had said to God, it's enough. I can't handle it anymore. And you were ready to die. Every single one of you have done that. This is not an indictment. It's just an acknowledgement. That you can come to the place that you can understand how Elijah felt. Because I don't want you to judge him. But I want you to find out, how did he get out of that particular place? Well, when we are obedient in performing God's will, we may encounter consequences. Somebody say amen. Amen. Do you think the devil's going to say, oh, well, thank you for killing all my prophets. Thank you so much. I can get me some more. It's okay. Go ahead. Have a victory party. Oh, he's looking. He's gunning for you. This is what it looks like. There will be times that we will encounter pain as a result of doing what is right. Ever been cussed out for doing the right thing? Ever been ostracized for doing the right thing? Ever lost a relationship because you did the right thing? Painful, wasn't it? And it made you second guess the fact of what you did. Maybe I did the wrong thing because I don't want people to be angry with me. Honey, you did the right thing. I want to help you right now. Even though it was painful at that moment, earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. God is going to heal some people today that you're still lamenting, you're still mourning over that situation. Well, if I'd only done this, if I'd only done that, they wouldn't have left me. Honey, you are better off right now. Some people are only in your life for a season. They may not be there for the rest of your life. Let me help you with that. Well, then Elijah had come through a drought that was a result of his obedience to the Lord. If you go back a few chapters, he says to the people of Israel, and God is basically dealing with them, he says, except by my mouth there will be no more rain in here until I say so. And all of a sudden, the whole land is beginning to dry up, and they have a famine in the land, and people are, you know, all things are happening, and it's even affecting Elijah himself. Some of the decisions that you make will affect people in a negative way, and they're going to blame you. Yes, they will. You have people mad at you right now. So you have people that are taking you off their Facebook. But I want to tell you what a blessing that is. And some of y'all, you need to close that Facebook thing and get a hold of Jesus. But that's another story. That's another sermon. I'll get to it at some day. But for now, don't worry about him, baby. He saw the miraculous power of God come upon his life. And one little thing was, you read the Bible sometime. Because one time it's a good idea. How about every day? It'd be great. You catch up with me, okay? But even after he, you know, the rain comes back, and he says, I hear the sound of rain. He heard it before he saw it. And he says, and the rain will overtake you. And so he outruns somebody that's on a horse. He's outrunning them all the way to the city. God will give you supernatural strength to do things you thought you could never do when his presence is in your life. Well, that's another story. I'll preach that for you one day, but not today. Depression can take us to the point where we lose our purpose and direction. Somebody say amen. Because we find ourselves, so Elijah finds himself in this place where he's sitting underneath a broom tree. He's praying that he might die, and he lay down, he falls asleep, and then an angel comes along and says, hey man, get up, have something to eat. So he gets up, has something to eat. You know what he does? Goes back to sleep. God has awakened some of you at a time or two. And just for a moment, you just kind of get your bearings together, and then you go right back to sleep. Some of you are in a state of slumber right now. Well, not totally right now. But when I finish this sermon, you'll go back to sleep. But I'm here to wake you up to the fact of what God is going to do in your life. So it's pretty amazing. So anyway, the Lord will extend his grace. And in this verse he says, rise and eat, in verse 7 he says, because the journey is too great for you. And so the Bible says in verse 8, he says, and so he arose and he ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb from the mountain of God. God has supernatural provision to come upon your life that'll take you a distance that you cannot go without him. And he'll give you enough to make it say, oh my goodness, by now I'd be all this other thing. I just don't know how this is happening. It's God in your life. You didn't think you'd make it this far, but you know, it's like that song, I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. You know the other part of the song, I don't feel no ways tired. Come too far from where I started from. Somebody told me the road wouldn't be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. That's your song. Come on. That's your song. God didn't bring you here to leave you. He's going to take you all the way on this journey. And I'm so thankful that we serve a God like that. Well, disappointment, as we know it to be, is often an appointment to bring us to a place of awareness of his presence in spite of circumstances. Record this in your mind. Disappointment is often God's appointment. Take the dis off that, and you got it together. Forget about dis and go to the appointment. Some of you need to get up and show up to where God's taking you. Oh, well, I know some of you guys, the rest of them, tell them. Somebody poke them and show them. You'll get it in a minute. When we want to abide in a cave, God wants to restore our courage to believe again. When I wrote down that phrase, believe again, I want to breathe that on some people right now that are in this despair where you've kind of lost your faith and confidence in the Word of God. You people on this side, I want you to believe again. Put aside all the disappointment and the things you feel like God failed to come through on, and believe again. Oh, these folks over here need it too, okay? I want you folks over here to believe again that God is able to do exceedingly above what you could ask, think, or even imagine. Because you may have gone through a divorce. You may have gone through a separation. You may have gone through the fact of losing a child. You may have gone through all these different types of things. But I want you to tell you, believe again. God is still on your side. Go ahead, believe. It's okay. Well, we must be willing to release our expectations of how things are working, are going to work, and trust God's plan. Trust can only come into play when we choose to remember the one who has brought us this far. And here's a little piece before we get to our last little closing piece. We must enter the cave of depression to find deliverance from our delusion. Some of you aren't going to like what I'm going to say. It's okay. I'm pretty secure. Depression sometimes is necessary. What? That's mental illness. You ain't that well. Who gave you a clean bill of health? Lord have mercy. You've been your own psychoanalyst. I want to tell you, you got some false diagnosis. That's all I can tell you. You are not that well. We must examine, number one, our expectations. What did you expect to get out of this? And when it doesn't meet our expectations, you go, I don't know why God's punishing me. God wasn't in some of your stuff in the first place. Hello? God just protected you. He didn't punish you. You need to change the P perspective. Protection. Not punishment. He would have punished you if he let you have what you wanted. Well, we must deal with our feelings of self-worth, because some of you have attached your self-worth to that circumstance, and that's not really who you are. That's not who God wants you to be. Take your self-worth off the page and let God's glory displace all of those things. Well, there's one more. Here we go. We must let go of our faulty reasoning and desire for vindication. Some of you are waiting for folks to agree with you in order for you to be healed. To tell you that you're right and they're wrong. Good luck with that. Some people will never apologize to you. Never. Do you hear me? Never. Is that going to be the sticking point of whether you go on with God, or are you going to trust the God who knows all things and holds all things into account, and he's the righteous judge? Don't go on man's judgment. Go on his judgment. Don't wait for me to get it. God's already got it. Oh, Lord, I'm getting stirred up here. I'm trying to make it on time. God, help me. Jezebel will allow you to discover what you really believe about God. She's necessary in your life. Some of you say, Jezebel was an evil woman. She dressing just like Jezebel. How do you know how Jezebel dressed? How do you know? I'm going to leave it alone. I could go down that path. We wouldn't get... Yeah, anyway. You are not the only one doing right. Elijah was delusional. In the cave, I don't know if it was a lack of oxygen or lack of light, but the boy, his mind was not working well. I'm the only one left. Ain't nobody anywhere got it together like me. That is about as delusional as you can get. Help us, Jesus. Our motives for trying to escape for our life are totally misplaced. I want you to take your finger like this, put it on your chest, repeat after me. I'm not the only one. Say it again. I'm not the only one. That is so therapeutic for you. I have just delivered you from a lot of your childhood illnesses and your misplaced expectations. You are not the only one. Somebody else has even had it worse than you. You are not the only one. Come on, give God some praise right now. You're not the only one. Your feelings of abandonment are a result of your focus not being rightly placed on the Lord. If you feel abandoned right now, I'll tell you what, your focus is on the wrong thing and on the wrong person. Because God says, I'm with you no matter how things look. So if you're feeling like depressed, my kids, my husband, my job, everything's again. Huh? Where is Jesus in that? Come on now. Well, this is going to be a nice message. I don't know what happened. Jezebel's threat over your life will allow you to discover what you really believe about God and his love for you. Because you'll believe Jezebel and not what God is saying. You'll believe that she's got a hit on you and it's going to come true. And so you need to get out of Dodge before she kills you. Even after hearing a still small voice of the Lord, Elijah was still convinced that he was the only one left. I want to read through this next little piece here that will help you understand. I'm picking up at verse 11. It says, and then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after that, the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And so it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and he went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Now remember, fire, wind, earthquake, still small voice. And he asked him the question again, what are you doing here, Elijah? Now watch the response. This is crazy. You know what he says? I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant and torn down your altars and killed your prophets and the sword, and I'm the only one left, and they seek my life. The boy's crazy. He has lost his mind, like some of y'all. God gives you this powerful demonstration of his presence. You know, earthquakes and all this other type of thing, and the still small voice when he's spoken to you. And many times you've heard that still small voice and you have dismissed it. You'd rather go back to your misery. You'd rather go back to your pain. You'd rather go back to complaining rather than listen to the still small voice. It says, Elijah, I'm here. I'm here. You finish this little passage and we're just about there. After hearing the still small voice, Elijah was still convinced he was the only one left. He's still convinced that he was the only one doing the right thing. He believed that they were out to get him, and the only one who, the only person who was after him was Jezebel. Did you realize that one person that you have given the power to control your life has displaced Jesus from the throne of your heart? Oh, I'm going to get a little personal with you. There could be a person from your past that would come into this room. If they walk down this aisle, your worship and everything would shut down because they're here. That's the person who's controlling your life. And today, you've got to let go. Today, you got to put it away. And as I'm speaking this, that person popped up in your mind. It went across. That was not your imagination. That is a person that's in control of you. It's not Jesus. It's them. And if you want to be free, which I know many of you do, then God's going to take care of that. The Lord addressed Elijah's fears with one word. 1 Kings chapter 15, verses 15 through 18. Here we go. Then the Lord said to him, Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael, king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel, Meholah, and you shall anoint as a prophet in your place. And it shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have Sir, I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. In other words, you're delusional. You are not the only one. God's got reinforcements. He is not, he's not reneging on the fact that he still wants to use you. You need to be obedient. And the word that God's saying to you right now is G-O, go. Even after you have, you're still with your crazy stuff, oh, he's not the only one. God says, no. I'm commissioning you, and this is your chance to take back what the enemy tried to steal from you. Well, you need to go back to where you escaped from. And some of you know where it is. You need to go back to that person or that circumstance and get it straight. Say, you know, I'm not going to be intimidated by this anymore. This needs to change. And you know what I'm talking about. How about this? Go back and set things in order. And that's what he says. He says, Elijah, I've got something for you to do. There's an anointing on your life. And the anointing that's on your life, I want you to go back and set these things. I want you to anoint people. I want you to release folks. I've got the first thing going to take your place. And I'm still going to use you. But you first got to respond to the word G-O, go. Do not be intimidated by your past that says, oh, I'm not worthy to do this. If God tells you to go, get up and go. That means all your past is behind you, and God is sending you forward into your relationship. Stop reminiscing over the past and just start walking into your future. We know what your mistakes are. We know what you've done. We know what you said. Let's change the whole atmosphere by you being responsive to the word G-O. Time to go. Well, Elijah's delusion was based upon the power of the thread he thought rested on. And God's promise is never, he said he'd never leave us, and the power of the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us into all truth and righteousness. Worship team, you can come back up here. I'm going to give you these last little principles as I'm trying to get this done in a reasonable fashion. We must choose to believe that we are at the end, we are truly at the beginning of the discovery of his power. I want you to look at me. I'm looking out all over this audience. You need to come to the end so you can have a new beginning. You know the old saying, the buck stops here? Today, things are going to change. Don't put it off tomorrow. Well, as soon as I get this together. No. You'll never get together. How about this? Number one. When you are down to nothing, God's up to something. Come on, put your hands together and applaud that. I want to tell you, you got nothing to lose. You don't have nothing, no way. So you're on your way up. When you're down to nothing, God's up to something. He's up to something big. Number two. Hope may not know how, but it knows who. It's not about how, it's who. And you rest upon the promises of the one who said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. It's not how, I don't know how I'm going to get this done. No, but I know who's going to help me. And I will follow where he leads me. Today, you need to renew your trust and your confidence in God that he will lead you and not forsake you. Number three, I got four of them, so just hang on. Yours is maybe next. Disappointment is the doorway to a deeper hope. It's not a doorway to destruction. They that trust in God will never be disappointed. Here's the last one. If you don't let your past die, it won't let you live. Look at me. If you don't let your past die, it won't let you live. And some of you have had multiple funeral services, funeral marathons, memorial services over. I was back in the day. Let it go. That the Holy Spirit may do his work in you. What are you doing here? It's time to move on. Somebody say amen. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Get ready for God to do something in your life today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. All you intercessors, you start praying right now, because there's people are going to be set free today. Amen. The devil's had you on his parking lot too long. It's time to break free. Everyone who's ready to move on. Some of you for the first time with God, some of you from situations that you had yourself stuck in, but you know, you believe today, this is my day. Freedom is going to happen. I want you to stand to your feet right now. Don't wait for anybody else. You stand up right now in Jesus' name. Stand up 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 in Jesus' name. Don't you wait for your neighbor to stand. You stand. Because God was speaking to you this morning. And the enemy has held you hostage way too long. There's several women here today. You're waiting on that guy to get it together, so he'll ask you to marry him. Let him go. You're waiting for her to discover what a treasure you are. Let her go. Let Jesus do it. Before I start the prayer, there's several other people here today that you've been bound by the bondage of guilt. And you don't think that God could ever forgive you for what you've done. Listen to me. The devil's a liar. He's a liar. And some of you think that the illness that you're suffering right now is God's punishment on your life because of what you've done. That's a lie. God's going to heal you today just to prove that. I'm going to pray. And by the time this prayer is over, there'll be other people standing because they're going to listen to what I'm saying. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, expose the devil for a lie, what the liar that he is. And let people walk into a new freedom like they've never known before. And let them create a trust in you that's unparalleled by any experience they've ever had. In the name of Jesus, I release people from the penalty of guilt and frustration over mistakes of their past, over condemnation, over the lack of wisdom to make good choices. It's time to let go and move on. Lord, give them the grace to do so. Before I call these people forward, there's several more people need to stand with them before we move forward. If that's you, stand up with them. These people are standing. Do it right now. Let the devil know that you're done. You're done. It's over. That's right. Thank you. Three more people should be standing with this gentleman. There we go. God knows you're here. And he's going to do some great things in your life. Those of you that are standing right now, as soon as the other people stand, I want you to make your way to this altar. Come now in Jesus' name. Come now right now. Everyone else stand up. We're going to start to sing. But you folks make your way to this altar right now. Come. Come right now. Come in Jesus' name. Come on, applaud what these folks are doing in the name of Jesus. If you have someone standing next to you, I want you to take hold of their hand. If there's someone across the aisle, just go across the aisle. Just everyone catch somebody's hand if you can, please. I want to pray a blessing over you all. That from this day forward, you would see Jesus from a whole different perspective. As the fact that he has never, ever left you, nor will he ever leave you. And in spite of discouraging circumstances, in spite of the things that the devil may try to put against you, he has a calling on your life. You need to go back to where you came from. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as we leave this place today, let your power, let your anointing, let your grace, let your Holy Spirit redirect us and guide us in the place you've always intended for us to go. Lord, we take away all condemnation. We take away all the things the enemy is trying to use to get us off track from what your intention is for us. Holy Spirit, thank you for your love and thank you for your grace. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for this day that we can be used by you after we forsake all those things of our past. We give all glory and honor and praise to you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.